the film with three brains. It's 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 the film with three brains.
Oh my god, you guys are freaks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the film with three brains. I'm Cohen in Maplewood, New Jersey.
And this is Sean in Chicago.
Sam in San Francisco.
The film we are discussing in this episode is Clue from 1985, an adaptation of a board game, which first thoughts would think, that's never going to work, but maybe it does. So I haven't seen it since it came out. I have very fond memories of it. What about you guys?
Same thing. I have not seen it since the 1980s, and I remembered it being amusing.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, I don't think I saw it in the 80s. I think I saw it much later. I want to say around 2000, something like that. I mean, you know, late. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it makes much difference. I remember it fondly from that time.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And it's got a great cast. The director is Jonathan Lynn. He'd direct My Cousin Vinny. That's probably the best film he directed.
That's the only film that he directed that's really worth talking about. I mean, at some point, I'm sure you'll pick Nuns on the Run because there's probably a scene where someone punches someone in the throat. But other than that, his movies are pretty terrible.
Yeah. I thought The Whole Nine Yards was decent. It was all right. But the other one, Sergeant Bilko, Trial and Error of Distinguished Gentleman. Mm-hmm. Was sort of when Eddie Murphy kind of hit that downward sort of slope in his career where everything was garbage. But I mean, he's got My Cousin Vinny, so and Clue.
Was John Landis supposed to direct this at first? I think I read that somewhere.
I don't know. I know he has a story credit, but I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah, John Landis has a much better filmography than Jonathan Lynn.
True. But I mean, the cast in Clue is great. Tim Curry, of course, and Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean, Martin Mull, Leslie Ann Warren, Eileen Brennan. It's a good cast. I will say this: my sort of knee jerk reaction was I remembered it being funnier.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad, and I found it amusing, but I remember it being funny. Like, my memory of it was hilarious. And in rewatching it was amusing.
A lot of the funniest, like the cleverest, funniest things happen in the beginning. Like, I mean, yeah. Tim Curry, like, I don't want to say steals the show because he just starts off like unstoppable. And the show hasn't started yet. And he makes it fun. But then it kind of, the middle just kind of drags a little with
a little bit. Yeah. Way. Yeah, I agree. The opening's really strong. The third act is the best of it all, I think. Once he tells everyone he's figured it out, then it comes alive. You know, that's when that movie, when Clue comes alive for me, when he says, I figured it out. And they're like, well, who did it? And then from there into the end, it's nonstop. It's all energy. It's all funny. It's just him, you know?
Yeah, no,
it's all him. He carries the whole third act and it's great. I wish the rest of the movie had that much energy, you know, that he brings to the third act. For those who haven't seen it and have never heard of it, perhaps if you're 20 years old, Clue is basically a retelling of Agatha Christie's Ten Little Indians, also known as And Then There Were None, sort of based on the board game Clue. You know.
I think this is the most memorable of movies based on board games.
Oh yeah, I mean, what others are based on a board game? I'm having a hard time thinking of any.
There was a crap with Liam Neeson, Battleship.
Battleship, yeah.
Exactly. Oh come on, it wasn't that bad.
Oh come on, it was aliens attacking battleships, and they were actually saying stuff like "G not," you know, like the grids on the
of course
ocean. Yes. I don't know.
I really enjoyed it. It's ludicrousness.
There was a Dungeons and Dragons movie too. Dungeons and
Dragons. Yeah, I kind of remember that.
With Jeremy Irons back in around 2000.
Right, right.
So
I actually saw that.
And you could argue that Ouija
is
a board game, but I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that movie was bad, but they made a sequel called Ouija, whatever, The Origin of Evil. That's actually quite good.
Oh.
If you like horror movies, it is quite good. It is shockingly good. The guy who directed it actually eventually was that Mike Flanagan, I think, is his name, who did Dr. Sleep, which is kind of kicking around right now.
So I want to believe you, but I'm laughing because I don't know if I should.
You should. You should. I know. I know. I understand your reticence. I get it. But trust me. I'll tell you what else he directed. He directed Hush, Oculus, Absentia. Have you ever heard of any of these?
Yeah,
Oculus.
They're all good. They're all low budget. And then he did Gerald's Game, which I actually didn't really care for that much. And then Dr. Sleep. And he was basically the creative force behind The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. So he's good. He's good. You should. That movie's good. The first one's terrible. And then somehow he makes a sequel far superior to the original.
Well, that's always a feat when that happens.
It is. It's impressive.
What was the first? I mean, has anyone seen in the first one?
First Ouija?
Yeah,
I have. It's terrible.
It's terrible, right?
It's terrible.
Holds its punches. It's like is it a sleepover type movie?
Kinda.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
But the sequel is so much. It's a sequel is actually a prequel. It's very good. Yeah, I really like his. I saw Absentia first, and then I saw Oculus, and then I saw Hush, and I'm like, man, this guy is making really great movies. And then he did that, and I was like, geez. He did another one in there called Before I Wake, but I never saw that one.
No, I have Hush on my Netflix queue. I haven't watched it yet.
It's good.
The deaf woman.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The best part about that movie is she's a writer and she has this whole internal monologue going on.
Don't ruin it.
I didn't ruin anything.
Now I know there's an internal monologue.
It's going to be waiting for it.
All right.
Unless there's an unfreezing process.
So other than those two, are there any other board games turned into movies? There's never like a Candyland or a Mousetrap or.
Supposedly Adam Sandler was doing a Candyland.
Oh, really?
And then it got lost.
That's too bad. And then he did Pixels instead. Yay.
Oh boy. That is terrible.
I saw a couple minutes of it. That was enough.
Go ahead.
The idea that there are movies that are so bad you'll turn them off.
I know.
And it's,
I know. Can you believe that? That is saying something.
I want a list of those movies.
It's pretty short, really. I can't help myself. I always got to see how it ends.
Well, you always are looking for that redeeming moment where you're like, where is the one thing where you're like, this is the concept that got this movie made. Like, this is the genius moment that someone heard and was like, yeah, we're going to make this. Right.
Or this is the moment that made this 2 hours of my life maybe perhaps worth the endeavor.
Yeah. Well, kind of like the fun drugs they give you before the colonoscopy.
Yeah, totally. Exact same.
All right. So back to Clue.
Well, okay, I was going to say that some people might consider Jumanji a board game movie, but I saw it in a list of board game movies, but I think that's pretty weak because
not
a real one. Mm-mm.
But,
no, it just involves board games.
Right.
Yeah, if we're going to make up fake board game movies, then we got to talk about the one where the kids go up into space from. what is that one? It's a Jon Favreau movie, maybe?
Oh, the Zathura?
Yeah.
That was that was like the same writer as Jumanji or whatever. They're related. They're related.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's my fault. We're segueing back to Clue.
Okay. All right.
Clue.
Back to Clue.
So when you were watching the movie, did you figure out who did it before he says it at the end?
No, I still couldn't tell you who did it. I don't remember.
No, I mean,
there's three different endings.
Yeah, it's three endings. I think.
Okay, so,
yeah.
I think that's the thing that the audience needs to know is that makes this movie kind of a fun gimmick that some people hated about it was that, and I didn't remember this. I told a friend, I said, hey, I have to rewatch the movie Clue. And they remembered, they're like, oh yeah, when I saw that in the theater, I just saw the one ending. I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, depending on which theater you got, theaters got different endings.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to see all three endings till you rented it on VHS unless you were going to go pay three times. And based on the gross, people didn't go three times to see this movie. It was made for about $15 million and it brought in $14.6 million at the theater. So it was kind of floppy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what does that say? I mean, like it's a pretty entertaining movie.
It is,
and it's about as good as you can do with that concept, and yet it didn't make money.
And it has such a great cast too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we've reviewed other movies that haven't made money that we still enjoy. That apparently has no the fact that no one else likes them has no effect on how
what
we think of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to mention a couple of things I did not like about it. First of all, I mean, I already said the things I liked, some things I like, but there's one big one really. And that's that I feel like Madeline Kahn was criminally underutilized in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Madeline Kahn.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't get to do anything. She doesn't really say much. She just kind of stands there the whole time.
Yeah,
she has like one or two moments. Whereas Leslie Ann Warren really gets the lion's share of the lines, and you know, like Miss Scarlet gets sort of the spotlight. And I mean, I like Leslie Ann Warren; she's fine, but she's not Madeline Kahn.
Do you know who was supposed to be Miss Scarlet?
No, was there supposed to be someone else?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher, really?
Carrie Fisher. Yeah, it says she was supposed to be Miss Scarlet. Let's see. Oh, right before rehearsals, she entered rehab.
Oh.
And then they both hoped they could work out a schedule for her to receive treatment. Oh, whatever. Do the film. Oh, receive rehab treatment and do the film at the same time. But the insurance company said, no, thank you. We're going to move on. And they got Leslie Ann Warren.
I mean, she's fine. I like Leslie Ann Warren, actually. But I don't know. I just feel like if you have Madeline Kahn, you want her for the biggest role there is.
Yeah, but then maybe that supports why Miss Scarlet had more lines than she probably should have.
Maybe.
But I agree. I think Madeline Kahn's great. I also think, what is Mrs. Peacock? What's her? Eileen
Brennan?
Yeah. I think she was pretty amazing, too.
She was great. Yeah. And I also say, and amongst the male actors, besides Tim Curry, Michael McKean really sort of has the most... you know, the most scenes and lines than anyone else. But I think that that's good because I think Michael McKean's great.
He does a lot of work. He gets thrown around a lot. He
has
to play different characters.
Yeah, yeah. And Martin Mull doesn't have a whole lot to do. Christopher Lloyd doesn't have a whole lot to do. I think that's maybe my biggest complaint about it is that there's this great cast and, the ones they focus on are good for the most part. It's just, it'd have been nice if it was spread a little more evenly.
I think that's fair.
So just to pick your brain a little bit, why is Madeline Kahn so great? What movies or what?
It's just like her Mel Brooks stuff, and I don't know.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I just think she's great.
Tired of playing the game.
No, that's right. What I remember is I was like,
I'm tired.
Is she in something else that I'm not remembering, or is she's like Young Frankenstein?
Well, yeah, I mean she's in. Frankenstein, History of the World, Blazing Saddles. I mean, not that just that. She's in a whole Christ load of other shit, too. It's just that's, the really funny stuff, I suppose, is what I think of and why I'm thinking I'd have liked to have seen her be featured a little bit more prominently. Yeah.
Yeah. You were saying how great Tim Curry is, and apparently he wasn't the first choice either.
Oh, really?
Just crazy.
Who was?
Let's see, Leonard Rossiter.
Who the fuck is that?
I have no idea. He's in Barry Lyndon.
Oh Christ! I've never seen Barry Lyndon, but
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
and then also Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean himself, Rowan Atkinson was
I could see that
considered.
Yeah.
something.
I don't really love Rowan Atkinson, but I can see that working. I mean, that seems right up his alley. Maybe a little too much, a little too obvious.
Yeah. Well, I think Curry is able to do a lot of things and still kind of make it plausible. I mean, I don't know if it's just the writing or that's him, but like, you know, to kind of, you know, walk a line between I know what's going on and I don't know what's going on and I'm part of this with you. I mean, he's, you know, he's our conduit to what's going on.
Yeah.
And basically you have to, whatever he says, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
So he has to be believable. And I think for the most part, he does. I mean, well, he's great, but he also is funny and dramatic. And I mean, he comes to tears when he talks about his wife and her suicide and all that, that, you know, I mean, which is a bit, which is a lot for a comedy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Bean wouldn't do that.
He's not going to give you that.
No.
Not in a convincing manner.
I don't think so.
I forgot her name, the woman who played the maid,
Colleen Camp.
Yeah, Colleen Camp. Gorgeous. You know, when I was watching this, I was like, God, why does she look so familiar? What? Who is she? And I had to look her up, and I couldn't remember it. And what I was thinking of is this obscure role. It's so stupid. Is she played a cop in Die Hard with a Vengeance? And she had this weird Boston accent. It always stuck with me because I knew the accent sounded weird. I don't know if you know if you guys seen that movie recently.
Yeah,
she has short hair, and like when the guy puts the epoxy together and throws it, the chair explodes in the precinct, and she screams at him. That's her.
Yeah.
And then later she's in the school when they all have to run, you know, to try and get the kids up before it explodes, but it never explodes, of course. But yeah, that's her. That was torturing me when I was watching it. And then
like curly hair or something.
Yeah, yeah, she had really curly short hair.
Okay,
she is in a couple of the Police Academy movies.
Right, right, yeah. And then when I looked her up, I was like, oh yeah, she's what is she? Like Hightower's sister or something? I don't remember.
She's Kirkland, Kathleen Kirkland. And then she in the last one.
She can't be in the first one.
She becomes Kirkland Tackleberry.
Oh boy.
Yes.
When you say the last one, which one is that?
I mean, sorry, the fourth one. I think it's the fourth.
I don't think that's the last one.
I didn't get past three. I've seen one, two, three, maybe.
I know. Yeah, one, two, three, and then I checked out. It took three.
I was sticking with it.
You were sticking it. You were going to ride that wave to the end. Look, the first one's pretty funny. Come on. I mean, I remember it being funny. I don't know.
So other than the misuse of the actors and actresses, did you have any other complaints with the movie or flaws?
Well, in terms of casting, there's one other thing. I thought it was really odd. They've got sort of these sort of comedic powerhouses for the most part as the primary cast. And then the guy they cast is Mr. Body, who I recognize. I mean, he's played bad guys in some stuff here and there. He was terrible.
Yep.
Just he like a terrible actor.
He's not an actor.
What's
he's
his
a
deal?
Musician.
Oh. Why cast him, though, I wonder?
I didn't know that. Sam, did you know who he was before? I had to look him up.
I've seen him in other stuff.
No, he's been in a fair, like he's...
I remember him from Streets of Fire, of all the movies. There you
go. Yes, he has been that. And he was also in Black Moon Rising.
Was he?
Yeah.
I saw that. I don't remember it.
So...
No, that's why I looked him up, because I thought he was terrible too. I'm like, this, he sticks out like a sore thumb in that cast.
Yes, he does.
Oh, so he's
just
a punk
the way
man,
he looks right? at everyone and the way he, you know, just delivers his lines.
Everything. Right. All his lines are rigid and strange and awkward.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have his filmography, I guess, but he's the leader of a band called Fear, late 70s and 80, early 80s. And it's a punk hardcore band from LA. Well, he's from Philadelphia. I don't know. Cause yeah, I mean, he sounds East Coast, but he doesn't look like a punk guy. He, you know, I don't know what his look is, but
yeah, I mean, he looks like a villain.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like the bad guy's right-hand man, a henchman, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't know how he got into that role, but he's obviously a musician first and an actor second.
All right. Since we're on the musician segues, do you know who the other musician in the movie is?
I do, and I didn't have to look that one up, but I did.
Oh, you did? You knew who it was?
Because
I had to look her up.
I did. I mean, that's the one thing, because I had not seen it when I was a kid, but I was old enough when I did see it to kind of go, why does she look so familiar? Like, you know, like, and think about it at that time. And I think I looked it up then, in the dawn of the internet or something, but, you know. Sorry, I don't know why I'm building this up so much. It's just, it's the guitarist of the Go-Go's.
Yeah, Jane Wheelan.
Oh, the girl who played the Telegram Girl.
Yeah.
Right.
So she, do you know what else she's in? Did you recognize her from another movie? She played Joan of Arc in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh,
that's
really?
Why I recognized her. Yeah. As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh my God, that's Joan of Arc.
Logically. But you're right. She is.
I didn't know she was a musician too.
That's a fun little bit too. Like,
God, the way your brain works.
Singing Telegram, bam, you know, open the door.
I know. That was pretty funny. That was one of the funnier moments of the whole movie. I'm your singing Telegram.
Because you almost thought, like, wait, is this absurdist? Are they just throwing this in here when they're never going to come back to this?
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, they do. That, like, they pieced it. Everything is somehow tied in. I think she was a patient of Professor Plum.
Right.
Yes, that's what it is. He had the affair with.
So they all have motives. I mean, do we have to go over? Is there a plot to go over, or is it pretty?
Well, kind of. I mean, they're all there because they're being blackmailed by, they think, Mr. Body. It turns out it's actually Tim Curry, right? Or was that just one of the three?
One of the endings, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't spoil the ending of this unless you try to spoil all three endings.
Yeah. Well, also, the ending doesn't really matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. Like, this is not a favorite. This isn't, you know, this isn't a movie that is success hinges on how it, you know, ends or how it reveals the mystery at the end. It doesn't matter.
If you were at the theater in the 80s, which one would you have wanted to see? You're not knowing all of them now.
Well, I think the last one when is the most satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. Where it was
Mr. Green? Was that it? Was he's Mr. Green saves the day? Is that the last one?
Yeah, Mr. Green saves the day, but everybody has a part in it.
Yeah.
It seems the most plausible one.
Yeah.
Because there's kind of murders, everyone has kind of a bit, you know, they do. I think it's Professor Plum kills Mr. Body, and kind of people kind of confess to doing certain things that night or before. But everybody's implicated. Like no one is innocent in that final ending.
Yeah.
Except for Mr. Green, I think. And Mr. Green is the only one that doesn't have any implication in any of them, right?
He doesn't.
Yeah.
This is getting deep.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I'm just trying to jumble. It gets jumbled in your head, so you're like, I think that's what's impressive about the writing is that they were able to make that break and still use other bits of the movie as is.
Yeah, that's good. That's true. That
can't be easy.
That's a good observation. Yeah. They can take those bits and pieces and rearrange them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is pretty skillful. Nice work, Jonathan Lynn.
Actually, what impressed me more than that even was,
I think they could,
was the board, the, well, yeah, the way the layout of the house matches the board game.
Does it?
I looked it up because I was like,
no kidding. I didn't notice that.
At first I thought it was just like, well, they got all the rooms. And then I was like, wait, let me, so I pulled up I pulled up an old board game and the rooms match exactly the board game. Even the secret passages between the conservatory.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, whoa, how did they do that?
I feel like I've gained a whole new level of respect for this movie.
That's kind of crazy that they even tried to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it make sense if you're gonna use all the weapons, all the people, then
sure,
might as well do the setting.
Yeah, I mean, if you can.
I looked up at the boards, and there was a newer version. I mean, the one that I identify with in one of the movie is the one that we used to play when we were kids. But there was a newer one that had like a cemetery in the corner.
Oh yeah.
So it wouldn't work for some versions of the game. And then there are other versions of the game too, I think. Like there's like a Genius Edition or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You seem to know a lot about the game Clue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you guys remember playing the game?
Sure.
Of course.
I remember not wanting to play it because my sister would beat me. My older sister at the time.
Like punch was, you?
Yes. She did that too, but this was in the
Oh, it's the lead pipe. No. Okay, this time it's the rope. If Sean comes to school, I'll beat up. Oh, you're playing Clue over the weekend, weren't you?
Yes. No, she was just much better at deductive reasoning than I was, and she would just figure it out faster, and I'd have to pretty much guess to try to win, and I would guess wrong. You know, you make an accusation, and you pull out the little thing with the three cards in the paper.
Yeah.
Well, you said that in past tense. You said was, but I want to see a rematch. Next time you guys are together, pull out the Clue game. Let me know who wins.
I like it. We'll put some money on it. See how it goes. I'll put you down for 20 on Brenna, right? On my sister.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like they really paid attention to the game as much as you can when you're making a board game movie. I don't, you know, that was just impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have the cellar. They didn't have an attic, but you know.
Well, there was a cellar. They went down there. They just,
right, I'm saying
the scenes took place in it.
Right. The board game itself doesn't have all of those.
Oh, features. That's what you're saying.
But literally, the ballroom, the dining room, the billiard room, everything else in that, you know, and the hall is where they open it up. The ballroom is like straight back from the front door, and everything else is exactly like the board game. I had to know for sure because once I started thinking about it, it just bugged me until I had to look it up.
Yeah.
So have you guys seen Knives Out?
I have not, unfortunately.
It's still not available for rent. It's just buy.
Oh, neither of you have seen it.
I wanted to.
Yeah, I've seen it. And this like Clue is brought up a lot about Knives Out. And I think only because it's kind of a witty whodunit that mostly takes place in one house. That I would say is the only reason that people bring it up. I mean, otherwise there's no other similarity. But that was why I thought you mentioned Clue was just because people have been talking about Knives Out and its success and how it kind of is reminiscent of that of this movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Anyway, I recommend it.
As soon as it's available for rent, I'll definitely watch it.
It's nice. It shows that that Rian Johnson had no problem bouncing back from being murdered for his Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
He wanted to do some murdering of his own? Is that why he did that?
Yeah. Taking out his aggressions. I was a little disturbed at some of this stuff in the beginning of this movie, just based on like the Christopher Lloyd was character like pinching the maid's butt.
Yeah, I know.
Some of this stuff, you're just like, ooh. A little
cringeworthy. But I mean, it was supposed to take place in the 50s. Maybe that's.
Well, his character in particular was particularly lecherous, I think.
Yeah. Right. Oh, of course. Yeah. There's a little bit of that. And then, you know, when Mr. Green, you know, states that he's a homosexual, how he's treated, how the way people treat him changes from that movie. You're just like, ooh.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean he's in one of the endings he that's part of his act.
Yeah.
Which I thought was what I thought was interesting is that it gives him a different motive than anybody else.
Yeah.
A different blackmail, because he's basically saying, I can't tell anyone in Washington because I'll lose my job. So, I mean, it's not anything connected to him, not someone he knows or, you know, a government, you know, a spouse or something. Everyone else has like some other person or some other connection to the blackmail. Yeah. For him, it's just like, oh, I just don't, you know, it seemed really plausible, but it should have been, you know, maybe suspicious then.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And also he didn't do anything wrong. Now, the other people are covering up for their indiscretions or legal activities, whereas he's just being blackmailed for being who he is. He's not committing, he never committed a crime. So it should have been obvious that he was never going to be the guilty one. Or not.
I mean, is it? I don't know if movies like this, when you have to figure out if it's a whodunit, and you're spending a lot of energy figuring it out, does that sometimes take you away from the movie? Or I guess it depends on the point. I mean, this is more fun, so it doesn't matter as much.
In general, maybe, but I don't. For me, no. Like, I don't think trying to figure it out takes away from the experience of watching the movie. For this, I never bothered. While I was watching, I didn't really care. I wasn't trying to figure out who did it. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't like trying to solve the mystery. I was just kind of just watching and enjoying and smiling, and because I didn't care, you know, like it didn't really matter to me. That wasn't the point.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. But I definitely, I mean, I almost agree so much that I think that in some of these movies that aspect of it, that like you trying to figure it out, can only happen if you're not really following the narrative thread. You know, it's like you're doing your own homework on the side, you know?
Yeah. I think it's more true for books than movies for me. Like, have you guys ever read an Agatha Christie book?
Yeah, a long time ago though.
You're never going to figure out what's going on.
Exactly.
No fucking way. There's no way. That's my chief gripe with her books, is that there's no way you can figure out what's going on by reading the book.
Yeah.
Until she tells you what's going on at the end. And it's irritating. You feel like you're being cheated a little bit.
Well, you
know,
I think
part of the fun of a mystery is if you do figure it out, or if at least you feel as if you have a chance of figuring it out. But reading, I haven't read one of her books in years, but years ago, you know, when I was in college and shortly after, I read a lot of mystery novels. I went through a phase and I was reading sort of the older stuff like Dashiell Hammett and what's the other guy? All of a sudden his name escapes me. And Agatha Christie. And hers by far irritated me the most, because like you can't. There's no way of knowing. There's no real clues. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no discernible clues that you can put together and then be like, oh, I figured it out. Unless I'm just an idiot. I don't know.
I just figured I was an idiot. That's what why I couldn't figure it out.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think.
But I didn't read anything before Agatha Christie except Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys, and Encyclopedia Brown. I mean, that was those you could actually figure out.
But like, I don't know, like Raymond Chandler books. I've read all of his books, and there's always the chance that you could like maybe figure out who's doing what where. You know, or if you've seen The Maltese Falcon, you have to read the book, but see the movie, the one with Humphrey Bogart. Like, you can kind of, like, see where it's going and be like, oh, it's probably this, that, and the other thing, you know. But her books are just like, or even Arthur Conan Doyle's like Haunted Baskerville, shit like that. You're like, well, you know, maybe here and there you might pick up some stuff, but I swear her books are impossible.
Yeah.
Till she tells you. I don't like that.
Well. No, I agree. I think part of the fun of it is trying to guess. Like, you start to get your own ideas, you know, and when they, you know, especially when they drop little hints to you that the other characters don't know, and you're like, oh, that must mean something, you know. Mm-hmm. I also think of, you know, Save the Cat when he says it's, you know, most people don't care who done it, they care why done it. You know, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to give a good explanation as to why everything happened is more important than who, you know, which person who ultimately did it.
Yeah.
And this movie gives you that a little bit, but at the same time, it actually overwhelms you because there's six people who all have a good reason to do it.
But also maybe just because it's a comedy. You know, when you go into a comedy, for the most part, what you're looking for is laughter, right? You're looking for the humor. You want to smile. You want to laugh. Anything else is sort of like a bonus, right?
That's true.
You know, so if it's actually intricate or interesting or intellectually engaging, like, wow, that's awesome. But if not, you're like, you don't really care if it's funny, you know.
Like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Sure.
You always know it's the first person they meet, wherever it is. Like if their car breaks down and a farmer helps them, it's that exact farmer at the end of the episode. Right. I mean, I'm sorry if I just ruined it for all the Scooby-Doo fans out there.
You ruined every single episode ever.
I've been saving Scooby-Doo. I've never seen an episode. I was saving them to binge. And now I know I only have to watch the first one.
What a night for a night. That's the first one.
Why do you know that?
The same reason you recognize that woman as the cop in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Did she have the mole in the same place or something? I can see.
I don't remember that actually.
I've got a spoiler for the ending that didn't happen. Did you guys hear that one?
That's another thing? Ending.
Yeah, there was a fourth
Sean, ending. You're such a Clue expert.
I've been waiting for this film all my life.
Oh no, did I steal a pick from you?
No, I don't think I would have come. Well, I don't know. But John Landis had a fourth ending, was scripted and scrapped, and I don't know. Basically, Wadsworth tried to poison everyone. Wadsworth the butler.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it kind of half baked anyway, because how the heck would you have a poison ending unless you know, because they talk about the cognac being poisoned and they're drinking all kinds of stuff the whole time. But at the end, I don't see how he would come back to that and say, oh, maybe a poison that didn't activate right away or something. That could be. But I can see why it's scrapped.
Yeah. About Tim Curry, watching this again, I thought he was great, but I will say that I find his smile distracting because
it's creepy.
Yeah. Cause it's so creepy. Cause now it's hard not to see, Pennywise and It from the miniseries in the '80s. And also even his character in, Rocky Horror Picture Show. He just has an unnerving smile. And so in Clue, anytime he sounds like, all right, put it away. also, John Landis was an executive producer, but the producer on this was Deborah Hill, who produced most of John Carpenter's movies, starting with Halloween. Yeah.
That's cool.
If that means anything, I don't know. Probably not.
I mean the dialogue and the the humor, I guess, or whatever you want to, just it's really fun.
Yeah.
Everything they say is kind of fun. I mean, sometimes it goes on for a while and you're not sure, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's fun. In the middle part, some of the jokes don't really land. You wait a little time and they build and then it hits. And you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And some of them don't really have any purpose. Like one of the ones I really like is when, he said, I think it's Mrs. White. She's like, he threatened to kill me in public. Why would he want to kill you in public? I think she means he threatened in public to kill her.
I like that because that's like the humor you find in Elf, if you guys have ever watched that show. They're like overly literal, sort of Naked Gun-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, to me, this pops into my head all the time from Elf. He sees one glove laying on the ground. He goes, oh my God, a hand. Matrix nope, just a glove. And see, it still works.
That's awesome. I love that.
It's every time I see one glove laying around, I'm like, I don't know. It also fits in with like the Luke Skywalker getting his hand cut off thing. Like,
you know. The other, when you said your favorite joke from Alf, it reminded me of one of mine where he's rooting around in your refrigerator and there's a plate with a piece of cake on it and a little note that says, don't eat this. And he picks up the note and he goes, why would I eat this? And he throws it aside and eats the cake. It's so genius. Stupid. It just kills me. It's so funny.
All right. You know, a couple of our usual questions. Suitable for kids?
Yeah, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. At least like once they're 11 years old. Yeah,
I mean, it's a little violent, I suppose. I mean, I wouldn't want a little kid who has no idea what it means, what death means, is watching it, but.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember watching it and thinking this was a great movie when you were a kid?
I don't remember specifically how old I was when I saw it for the first time. I would think it was sometime in the 80s. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely saw it in the 80s. But I was probably 13. I remember enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the stupid humor that a lot of people grow out of that I haven't is still amusing. And so I think it's still good.
That reminds me, I heard a really great dad joke at work the other day. And I'm going to tell it to you now.
Sweet.
Okay. How come, then let me make sure I get it right. How come the lifeguard didn't save the drowning hippie surfer? Because he was too far out, man.
Oh, God. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it's okay. You're a dad. You get to sell that joke.
That's so right.
I have to tell you a true story the other day. I was doing a surgery with another doctor, and it was a thyroid surgery for the neck, and it was kind of a big one. So we're trying to dig in there in this hole to essentially the back of the thyroid's touching the spine, and it's kind of this big ball. And my partner's retracting with a metal retractor, and I'm like, put it under there. And I'm pointing at the hole between the thyroid and the muscle, and she puts it in. I'm like, no, put it under there. And she goes, under where? I'm like, ha ha, did you say underwear? And she looks at me, she's like, really? During surgery. My scrub tech was on my side. She's like, you know you're going to go home and tell your son that. Her son's 4. So.
And he'll love it.
Yep. I'm so proud of myself. I haven't done that to someone in ages.
Hey, if the Bare Naked Ladies can put that in a song, then you can certainly do it in surgery.
Good.
Yeah.
let's see. The other question, should this movie be remade?
Nah.
Right? It's hard to do. I mean, I think that's why they got a stage person to do it, because, I mean, think about the amount of blocking that went into it.
Yeah.
You know, am I using the term right? Blocking, you know, the movement of people from place to place in the scene.
That is accurate. Yes.
And there's a ton of it. Like, they're just running around the whole house.
Wait a minute. I just did a quick search. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just did a quick search online about Clue and if there's anything in the works. And apparently there was a mini series with teenagers.
What
did either guys see this?
No.
2011, a 5-part mystery TV miniseries based on the board game Clue. All right. Well,
do you know who's in it?
Boy, who are these people?
I find it funny when people say miniseries, because it reminds me of, you know, stuff from CBS in the 1980s where it would be, you know, 3 nights in a row. But in the age of Netflix and binging, it doesn't really mean the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
now they call it like what do they call it? A limited series.
Right.
As opposed to all the unlimited series.
All the other streaming services still release things on a weekly basis. Netflix is the only one that does a dump.
Huh.
Amazon, Hulu, HBO, they all do weekly. Netflix is still the only one who's like, here you go, here's the whole thing. Go nuts.
Yeah.
Which I like and don't like. Like, I am of two minds about. Sounds like your dog's going crazy.
You can hear the conflict in his voice.
Yeah, they're going crazy.
Or is it her voice?
Pay attention to me.
Okay, so there's a miniseries. But it shouldn't probably be remade, because why the hell would you do that?
Yeah, no.
Okay, this was my thought. I'm gonna say the opposite, that you could redo something like this. It doesn't have to remake the same thing. But what I thought was you could totally do a Bandersnatch type thing off of this.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
That you could follow different characters and like into different. Like, are you gonna follow the people who go upstairs? Or are you gonna follow the people who go down to the? So I think
for our viewers who don't know what Bandersnatch means, it's the Netflix Choose Your Own Adventure movie that came out. Was that last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that part of Black Mirror?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And it had the kid from Butcher Boy, that actor.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was interesting. That's good. That's a good idea. If anything, Clue would definitely be... work really well in that sort of environment, that sort of conceit. Good thinking, yeah. Sam.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, people. What else we got?
Have we murdered this? Oh, hey, Sean, where did you get a clue?
Where did I get a clue?
Yeah. Where'd you watch it?
Oh, yeah. I figured that's what you were doing that, but isn't it free on Amazon right now?
Well, it is. It wasn't, though.
Yeah, it just became.
It just became, which is a little annoying to me, because when I chose it, the next day I bought it on Blu-ray, because it was cheap. It was like $8. And then, seriously, about 4 hours later, I found out that it was suddenly it was Amazon Prime and it was free. I was like, God, man, $8. But now I own it on Blu-ray. Yay. Good. That and Howard the Duck.
Oh, great.
I haven't finished the book, by the way, in case anyone cares.
I do.
Just been busy.
I've been waiting for this update.
I know.
Hey, speaking of updates, I got a random one from episode 3.
Yeah.
Which I think that was Princess Bride.
Yeah.
I was just kind of meandering and I came across this is Spinal Tap, and I was checking out his hat and I'm like, well, it does say like USS. I can't really read it. So I did a search for his hat, and apparently he changed the hat. So it's supposed to be USS Coral Sea. And then a number, it's an actual destroyer or ship. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to use it, and the Navy wouldn't let him. So, you know, some prop person altered the stitching. So it says Ural Sea. That's O-O-R-A-L, and just changed a couple things. So it's basically the same hat. And I think, was it Christopher Guest? Like, I don't know if he was in character as Nigel at the time, but he said, like, yeah, he walked in like he was in the Navy or something, you know, like, so there's this weird like affect that he had. But apparently this is based on Steven Spielberg wearing like, you know, LAPD, and he wears hats like that.
Yeah.
On set.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was spoofing him a little bit. I think Rob Reiner was wearing that hat to kind of mess with, you know, like just kind of that's his being the director. With the cool hat. But it still doesn't explain why Mark Knopfler wanted to see that hat so bad. But I think it's... I was like, yeah, all right. That's anyway. Apparently, it's a big part of the lore of This is Spinal Tap. But that's not...
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing.
Didn't you love it? I mean, you got to answer these questions eventually, right?
Sure.
It only took me, what, 12 episodes to catch up?
Well, even more impressive is, like, he did all of this off screen. So, like, the idea that he was making fun of Steven Spielberg in a way that none of us could ever figure out until it comes onto the internet and you find which who posted it on what webpage and we finally deliver it to the rest of the world. Like, Rob Reiner's out there pumping his fist right now because he's listening and he's like, yes. And Spielberg is like, oh, crap.
Found out.
He's listening. Like, that guy was making fun of me 30 years ago. That hurts.
You're welcome, Spielberg.
All right, so we've murdered Clue.
We've murdered it.
All right, so what are we gonna watch next, Sean? You have some.
Well, it is my turn. Before we move on, can I just say how cool it was that they actually worked in, like, you know, a final. I think is the last ending. He said it was me, Mr. Green, in the hall with the revolver.
Yeah.
So again, agreed. Kudos to them.
Yeah.
Weaving that stuff in with pretty seamlessly. All right. So it's the 70s, which we haven't hit very, very often. It is 1976 and it is a Western and it's got a lot of famous people in it, but it is a notorious flop.
Oh, is it Heaven's Gate?
It is not Heaven's Gate.
but I picked this. I picked it because we had just done a couple comedies and and I wanted to make sure I didn't pick something that was really great because I've been on a streak of good movies. So I want to make sure this is, I mean, I don't know. Actually, this is not a movie I've seen. So it's a pretty big risk.
Is it Clint Eastwood?
It is not. It is along those lines.
Oh. It's not Clint Eastwood.
Heaven's Gate is the only Western I can think of that was a huge flop, although it was probably way before 1976. Well, maybe not. Well, it doesn't matter. It's not your pick, so whatever.
It's got Randy Quaid in it, Harry Dean Stanton. I mean, some pretty famous people. Those are the B actors. Yeah, not the headlines.
I have seen a Harry Dean Stanton Western, I think, once.
I think he's in more than one.
But the thing about him is that I only, I think of Alien.
Yeah.
Like, I know that he's famous for a lot of other stuff, but to me, he's Alien.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Me either.
What am I supposed to do? The review? I've got a review. You can just tell us. Yeah, at this point.
At this point, I'm going to start Googling it.
I know, I don't want to.
It's, The Missouri Breaks.
I never even heard of it.
It's got Marlon Brando.
Oh, that's
Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah, that's a lot of famous people.
Yeah.
For a movie none of us have seen.
Chock full. Yeah, it's not, it's a flop. It's considered a flop. So
is it?
We can see.
Rotten Tomatoes says 77%.
Yeah, the critics.
From the critics.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the critics are always right. I mean, the general people, what did they know, right? The audience, I mean, it's not what the audience thinks.
Yeah.
Missouri Breaks. I never even heard of it.
We will take that journey together. Yeah, so no one has seen it. No one even knows that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Do you know where you can watch it?
Let's see. I don't have it handy, but.
All right. Well, I'll look.
Sound real good.
I'll tell you if you wait 10 seconds. You can watch it. You can rent it. You can rent it on Google Play, iTunes, Microsoft, Prime Video, or YouTube. All right. So it's not streaming as part of any sort of subscription or anything.
Yeah, it might be a little hard to find, but.
I mean, I gotta wonder if somewhere someone's like, holy cow, three people across the nation all rented this movie that no one's watched in three weeks, all at the same time. Like what a weird blip.
They're going to red flag us for something. I don't know what.
Like someone gets this very minute royalty check. They're like, oh, three people watched it this month. 26 cents.
No, I'm curious. Nice work. You picked something I never even heard of. That's surprising.
Oh, That is.
Yeah, that's a new challenge.
Yeah. I mean, is that fair pool or? Well, is that fair play that I picked one that I've not seen? I mean, that's
yeah.
Sam, you did it with Love and Death, so I figured that.
I hadn't seen Thief either.
You hadn't seen. You did it twice.
Yes.
Brave soul.
And reckless.
You're dangerous.
Reckless.
All right. This has clearly been our best review.
Doy.
I mean. We killed it.
Yeah. Oh, we murdered it.
With the lead pipe.
Oh.
Yes. Till next time, Missouri Breaks.
Yeah.
Pa-pow.
Pa-pow, all right.
I think he said kung-pow. I think she's hungry. I need
it
dinner.
It'll sound like a mess when it's all together.
You had the cadence kind of Bottle Rocket. Cuckoo.
Kung Pao is the name of a movie, by the way. Kung Pao Enter the Fist. Have you guys ever seen that?
Is that Odenkirk?
Yeah. Steve Odenkirk.
Steve Odenkirk, not Bob.
No. It's Bob. I don't know if they're related. I was going to say Bob's brother, you know, Steve.
Doesn't he also do the thumb wars and other things with the thumbs?
Yeah.
Those are funny.
Yeah. I don't know if he does those or did them a while back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they.
I don't think he's doing much these days. Yeah, Thumb Wars, the Phantom Cuticle.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Wow.
Nice. I think his IMDb. There's a Thumb Wars 9, The Thighs of Sky Skipper. We need to stop now.
Do you remember that? What is that? The Yoda bad lip syncing or the bad lip.
Sure.
The one with the seagulls.
Yeah, that's seagulls. Fantastic.
I heard students listening to that in a classroom. I was like, holy shit.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
How do they know this? Seagulls stop it now?
Yeah, seagulls stop it now.
That thing's got like 150 million views and only 100 million are from me. So someone else is watching it.
Yeah, I watched it like 5 or 6 times.
Oh, wait, I just dug it up and I'm watching it now.
Oh, yeah. You've never seen it before?
I want to see it again.
Oh, no, I've watched that thing probably 50 times. And then I wake up my niece playing it because she sleeps in. So then when it's time to get her up, I'm like... So she's got PTSD from that.
Yeah.
I love that, though.
Yoda's like, don't fall asleep.
Yeah. You can be my backpack. I can be your backpack while you run. Like, it's genius. And yeah, R2, stop it. Don't hit me, please. All right.
This has been Clue. Thanks for listening.
It's actually been a film with three brains.
Oh shit.
Let's start over.
Sorry, let me start over. This has been the film with three brains discussing the movie Clue. Tune in next time for Missouri Breaks.
It's the film with three brains.
Pa-pow. Yes.